From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Once again, this is Alan Cairn speaking to you from Greenville, South Carolina, to bring you another Let the Bible Speak program. Currently, we're studying the Ten Commandments and have reached the Fifth Commandment. Thus far, we have considered the commandment as it touches on the duty of parents, but its primary and most obvious application has regard to the duties of children, and that's the subject of today's study. So, stay with us. The latest issue of our quarterly magazine is available, and we'd like you to join our mailing list. The magazine is distributed freely to those who ask for it, so I hope you'll become a regular reader. This issue is one you won't want to miss. It deals with some of the great moral issues that confront the church and the people of God today. Matters like abortion, euthanasia, homosexuality, etc. It has a vibrant missionary page and a feature article on the life and ministry of a young Christian physician in Northern Ireland. Also available is our monthly Let the Bible Speak tape, or CD, that brings you a combination of music, brief devotional and instructional messages, and personal testimonies of the gospel at work. You may have the Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine and the Let the Bible Speak monthly tape or CD by writing or calling us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS, 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you. A BC cartoon in our local paper caught my attention. In the first panel, it asks for a definition of science fiction. and in the second it provides the answer. The answer is any scientific theory that omits God. Leave it to a cartoon to get to the heart of the matter. I thought of BC's definition when I read an article from The New Scientist on a new theory emanating from some Danish geologists led by a scientist from the Geologic Museum and the Nordic Centre for Earth Evolution at the University of Copenhagen. Not satisfied that traditional evolutionary theory can explain the data they find in the field, these evolutionary activist scientists have floated the novel idea that life produced the Earth as we know it. According to this theory, ancient microbes provided chemical energy to create the continents, a pseudo-scientific accommodation of the hypothesis of the Earth worshippers that life produces the conditions it needs to survive. The traditional evolutionary model has the Earth forming about 4.6 billion years ago, coalescing as a homogeneous mass that in time developed into the Earth as we know it. But this model doesn't explain why the Earth's continental crust appeared when it did, or why we have granite on Earth, for as far as is known, it's not found anywhere else in the solar system. So, in their devotion to their godless religion, evolution, these scientists are willing to accept that the life enjoyed by microbes gave off sufficient energy to create the Earth's core, mantle, and crust, as well as its oceans and atmosphere. Finally, this life created the continents. Talk about science fiction. The Danish geologists who come up with this harebrained notion profess to have been impressed by the evidence that the appearance of the continental crust coincided with that of photosynthesis. To a creationist, there's no mystery about such a coincidence. How could it be otherwise? It says a lot about the bias of evolutionary scientists when they take the evidence in favour of creation and, since it refuses to fit neatly into their evolutionary model, use it to support the idea that life has in it the power to create the conditions for its own survival and development. The Bible speaks of those who did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Here we have an outstanding example of that truth. Years ago, I heard an eminent professor of physics give his explanation of origins. He said, with a sense of timing and passion worthy of a great actor, "In the beginning, hydrogen." Now we have a bunch of geologists telling us, at least as far as the Earth as we know it is concerned, "In the beginning, microbes." These scientists have descended to science fiction. Perhaps we'd be better off to let them draw the cartoons and the cartoonist do the science. The cartoons may suffer, but the science could hardly be any worse.
Despairing cry.
As I said at the top of the broadcast, today we commence another look at the Fifth Commandment, dealing particularly with the duties of children toward their parents. I don't think that there are many more important matters for the Christian family to deal with in Scripture than what the Bible teaches regarding parents and their children and what the Word of God commands both. So I trust that you'll pay much attention, and I trust today that the Lord will begin to open up His Word and show us, as God's people living in a world that hates God and His truth, what it is to live so as to have homes that fulfill the Mosaic command and ideal to have days of heaven upon the earth. So let's hear the word of the Lord.
Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. Before we read the text, we will once again this evening read Ephesians 6 verses 1 through 4. Ephesians chapter 6 verses 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother.
Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Last week we only got halfway through the message, and we got to study first the duties of parents. After the introductory study of the text, we considered, as we pursued the subject of the proper attitude and actions of parents and children toward each other, we studied the duties of parents. Tonight, we come to stage two, which, of course, is the duties of children. It is reported that the Duke of Wellington once made a very sardonic statement about America. He said, "The thing that impresses me most about America is the way parents obey their children." The more I thought of that, the more I realized that under the film of sarcasm, there was a great deal of truth. Only, of course, it is far from being limited to America. As you look around you today, you would come to the conclusion, looking at many families, especially those families that tend to think that they can buy with money and with trinkets of the world what they have failed to put into the rearing of their children spiritually. You would think that the commandment said, "Parents, honor your children and obey your children." We're living in a day when parents all too often treat their children as idols. They make them into little gods. And that is disastrous both for the parent and for the child. The child is not an idol. The child is not to be worshipped. He is to be loved. He is to be taught. He is to be provided for. He is to be disciplined in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. But he is most certainly not to be worshipped, because if he is, you will destroy him, your relationship along with him. The commandment is, honor thy father and thy mother. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is the first commandment with promise, or as many like to translate it, this is the commandment that is foremost with promise. Let's consider the duties of children then this evening. As we consider the text, we will notice that the Lord gives us a plain precept: honor your father and mother. Honor If we want to know what that means, I think the Bible itself will give us a very clear indication. In Hebrews 12, verse 9, for example, the apostle says, "We have had fathers after our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence." The word has the connotation of respect or regard. "Our fathers after the flesh corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live?" Now that text will start us on our way toward understanding this word honor. And I think we'll discover that while the Bible never in so many words says to children, "Children, love your parents." Some people have wondered at that, by the way. Why does the Bible never say, "Love your parents"? Why does it only say, "Honor your parents"? I think there's a very simple reason for that. We are apt to confine love to affectionate feelings or experiences of tenderness towards someone. We are not only to honor our parents when we feel tenderly toward them. We are to do so not because of what we feel, but because of what God commands, what the Bible lays upon us. Of course, love is not to be left out. The word honor will include love. But it is a love that has respect. A love that shows godly fear. A love that expresses itself in obedience and submission. A love that will discharge all its duties toward those parents. The word in the Old Testament for honor is a very significant word. It is simply the Hebrew word that means heavy. And that will let you into the secret of its meaning. What does it mean to honor? It means to give due weight to your parents. Give due weight to their persons, to their reputation, to their position, to their instruction, and to their judgments. The opposite in the Old Testament scriptures to honoring your parents is cursing your parents. Honoring is the very opposite of cursing. In Exodus 21, verse 17, we read, "He that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death." And the word that is translated curse is a word that means to esteem lightly. The idea, in the words of a prominent Dutch writer and theologian, is to treat them as indecent or despicable. That's what the Bible means by cursing your parents. To treat them so lightly, to esteem them so lightly, that you treat them indecently or despicably. Now, clearly, cursing is more than common acts of disobedience. When the Bible speaks of cursing father and mother, it means something more than a child that we would say was acting up. And yet, disobedience in every expression is a perilous step on the road toward this cursing, which the Bible visits with such a severe penalty. When you read the scriptures, you'll find that disobedience to parents is the mark of a society which God has given up to judgment. In Romans chapter 1, you have that great description of the Gentile nations as they descended into the abyss of their depravity. You had their willful ignorance of God. Their turning away into idolatry. The idolatry producing immorality. And the immorality producing insensitivity to the law of God and to the very call of conscience. Three times in verse 24, 26, and 28, in Romans chapter 1, God says that God gave them up. When you read Romans 1, it is a most sobering experience to understand what God is saying. He's describing not a sick society, but a society under judgment. And the scary part about that is that when you read Romans 1, you're reading what you'll read in tomorrow's newspaper concerning American society and British society and Western society in general. You're seeing nations that are already under judgment. And what is one of the marks of those nations under judgment? Romans chapter 1 verse 30, in the list of all the great sins. Read that list. That awful, horrible listing of the expressions of human depravity. Right in among all those terrible things, God puts disobedient to parents. The mark of a society gone awry. A society deep in sin. On the verge of eternal judgment. When it is endemic in its people that the family structure has been so disarranged that now seems to be children disobeying their parents, and parents forced to obey their children. Furthermore, Paul tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2 that this is a mark that will become increasingly prevalent in the last days. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. Can I say that that is the cause of so many sins? Lovers of their own selves, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Now this lets us see what disrespect for parents really is. It's inherently pagan. It is part of a mindset that is anti-God and anti-Christ. And it calls for and will undoubtedly receive the judgment of a holy God. For in Romans 1:32, we read, they which commit such things are worthy of death. Now in contrast to that, the Lord says, honor thy father and thy mother. Honor them. Give due weight. Give such grateful love, respect, and obedience to your parents as the Scriptures command.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.